the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
See, God promises to comfort me.
about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
You wish to know where you lost something?
That's right.
Something valuable?
Very valuable.
I see sparkling jewelry. You lost your bracelet?
Yes, where is it?
I see a box. A small box. It is in a bedroom.
Oh.
The bracelet was not lost. It was stolen. A big woman, she lives next to you. The bracelet is in her bedroom.
She pretends to be a friend. I'll get my bracelet.
That will be 6 pieces of silver, please.
Steal from me, will she? Well, I'll
Thank
show
you.
Her it doesn't pay to
Come
steal
again.
From me. You're welcome, I will. Pretending to be my friend. I'll invite her to come over and I'll have some nice things.
Give me the 6 pieces of silver.
Yes, master.
How did you know where the bracelet is?
My guide tells me.
Does your guide whisper it in your ear or what?
No, master. I can see my guide, and he talks and tells me things just like you're talking to me now.
That's what you keep telling me, but it's hard to believe. There's another customer outside, a man. He looks prosperous. Charge him according to what he wants to know.
Yes, master.
Come in. She'll see you now.
Coming.
Sit here, please. Thank you. Now, what is it you wish to know?
I don't believe you can tell me. My wife made me come. I didn't want to. So you tell me what it is I want to know. Then answer me, if you can.
That will cost you 10 pieces of silver.
And if you can do it, I'll gladly pay the price.
I see water. A large body of water. A ship. Now I see... What is it? Oh, yes, I see men building something. Several things. A temple. A house. And I see you. You are standing on the... Oh, yes, now I know what you want to know. You wish me to tell you if you should or should not accept an offer to go somewhere and work for a builder.
How did you know?
Accept the offer by all means. Something will happen there that will make you an influential and wealthy man.
I will, but... Now, how did you do it? Through God or Satan?
10 pieces of silver, please.
Oh, gladly. Probably Satan.
Beelzebub, I have a problem in Philippi. I have a special agent there, a young servant girl. She tells fortunes, predicts the future. I appear to her as a guide and give her the information. She passes it on and collects a fee. Well, her work has greatly strengthened idolatry and licentious living, but our kingdom there is being invaded by Paul, Silas, and Luke, and a helper named Timothy. How can I stop them?
Let's see. Have your agent, the slave girl, follow Paul around town shouting... These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way to salvation.
Well, that'll help them, not us.
It's a good thing you have me to think for you. People in Philippi know this girl, do they not? Mm. And they know she is filled with my spirit, not God's.
Yes.
When this slave girl recommends Paul and his helpers, the people will think that they, like she, are my agents. This will bring disrepute upon the gospel Paul preaches.
Servants of the Most High God. anyone to us the way of salvation.
She's hurting our cause. We will wait for her. Evil spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.
Greetings, sirs.
Greetings, young woman.
Greetings.
Hello, miss.
Where am I? How did I get here?
More important, who are you? Where do you live? What do you do?
I'm nobody, just a slave girl with two masters who make me tell fortunes and soothsay and do all sorts of things through my guide. My masters take the money I make.
You were possessed of an evil spirit. In the name of Jesus, I cast him out. You are now in your right mind and can do as you choose.
I don't have to go back there. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No. Rather, let us go to some quiet place and we will tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. He is the one who freed you from the evil spirit.
My masters will be furious.
She's not coming back.
No, and why should she? She's no longer of any value to us.
You talk like an idiot.
No, truly. She did her divination and soothsaying through the devil.
Of course, the evil spirit, as I call him.
Well, a man by the name of Paul cast the evil spirit out of her. And now she can't tell fortunes and divulge secrets. We can't make any money through her. We've lost a good income.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
What makes the world want to go on turning? And why do the stars choose to shine? Tells the moon when to change its face, and what moves the sun in a line. As he looked at the world of his father's hand, so much he wanted to understand. His countless questions, his curious joy, when Jesus was a boy. So unforgiving, and when did the sorrow begin? And how do the hungry ones go on living? Is this how they suffer for sin? His sweet simplicity wondered why. This is a world where we all must die. The darkness of doubt he could not avoid when Jesus was a boy. That they should wonder, that they should ask their very own questions about this world for every boy and girl. And so you should not be ashamed of asking, no matter how pointless it seems. But know there are questions that have no answers, except for the answers you dream.
Okay, voice recorder on. This is Kim again with my daily diary for health class. I'm supposed to say what I did today to keep healthy. Well, today, I slept. No, I didn't sleep during the day because I was at school and my teachers don't like students sleeping in class. No, I didn't sleep during lunch break because today was curry rice day and I love curry rice. And no, I didn't sleep during band practice because I had a clarinet solo and my band teacher knows the difference between a clarinet and snoring. Although sometimes my clarinet sounds very much like snoring. I slept last night. I went to bed early and didn't wake up until my brother Carlos ran into the wall this morning. He does that a lot, especially when he's playing with our dog, Alexander. No one can sleep through that. Sleeping is important to my health because if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm all tired and grouchy the next day. I can't concentrate in school and my grades go down. This makes my mom and dad upset because I'm supposed to be the smart one in the family. Carlos could be the smart one in the family if he'd stop running into walls. To make sure I get a good night's sleep, I relax in the evening and don't do stuff that would keep me awake, like eating a lot of food or exercising very hard right before I go to bed. I read a book or listen to my favorite music for a while. Then I say goodnight to everyone and drift off to dreamland. Oh, I love sleeping. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do right now. Good night.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 7, Caught. "Just what do the two of you think you are doing?" Mrs. Sheckley asked, stepping toward Ginny and Sammy. Ginny and Sammy stood suddenly, their backs to the hole they were trying to patch. Startled, Sammy was speechless, and Ginny felt her face burning. "Oh, hi, Mrs. Sheckley," Ginny stammered. Mrs. Sheckley stopped and looked at Ginny up and down. "You look like you've healed," she said. "How are you feeling?" Ginny relaxed when Mrs. Sheckley changed the subject. "I feel fine, thank you," Ginny said. "You told me to come back and visit you." "And so you did," Mrs. Sheckley said. She bent her neck, trying to see what Ginny and Sammy hid behind them. "Now, back to my original question. What are you two doing out here?" Ginny and Sammy looked at each other, then shrugged. They stepped back so Mrs. Sheckley could see the boards, nails, hammer, and hole in the porch floor. We felt bad about the hole, so we wanted to come over here and fix it," Sammy said quietly. "I told you not to worry about that old porch," Mrs. Sheckley said, "but if you felt so bad about it, why didn't you ask me first?" "We wanted it to be a surprise," Ginny said. Mrs. Sheckley paused and thought. "You were the ones who raked the leaves and cleaned the windows." Ginny and Sammy nodded. "With some friends," Sammy added. "Why, you sweet dears," she said more to herself than to Ginny and Sammy. "Just a minute, and I'll get my purse and pay you something for your work.
Jenny held up her hands and shook her head. No, no, please don't do that. We did it because the shoebox kids are Christians. Christians do good things for people, and we especially wanted to do something good for you. Mrs. Sheckley backed up a step. Me? Why me? Jenny took a deep breath. Because you looked like you needed a few friends, and we wanted to be friends with you. Sammy nodded. Friends do things for each other. Mrs. Sheckley blinked and looked like she didn't know what to say. The three of them stood looking at each other. Suddenly, the silence was broken by a howl.
Row!
The howl came from behind the two kids. Sammy jumped a foot in the air, and Jenny let out a squeak of fear. Oh, kids, relax, Mrs. Sheckley said, shuffling forward in her house slippers. It's just dragon. Dragon? Sammy mouthed to Jenny. What's a dragon? He said out loud. Dragon's just a silly old cat, Mrs. Sheckley said, reaching into the ivy behind them. She pulled out a huge yellow ball of fur and drew the cat to her chest. That must have been the cat we saw when we came here the first time, Jenny said. Dragon's been out all night, and I'm sure he's hungry, said Mrs. Sheckley. She looked up. How about you two? Are you hungry? I can make some pancakes. Jenny grinned at Sammy. Sammy grinned back. Sure, why not? I think I have room for a couple of dozen. In the kitchen, Mrs. Sheckley made pancakes in an old iron skillet on her antique stove while Dragon ate his breakfast in the corner on the floor. Sammy sat at the old table and looked around. Wallpaper curled off the walls in the corner. A yellowed calendar on another wall was dated March 1979. Bits of food lined the floor around the stove and refrigerator. He cringed. I'm glad my house doesn't look like this, he thought. You have a nice house, Jenny said. Sammy stared at her, but she continued. I've always liked big old houses like this. Well, it's much too big for me to keep clean, Mrs. Sheckley admitted. I have a hard enough time just taking care of myself and Dragon. She looked around her, blinking behind her thick glasses. But this is home for me. Always has been, she said brightly. I was born upstairs. Did you know that? Jenny shook her head, then shot a glance at Sammy. Mrs. Sheckley, what was your name before you got married? Jenny asked cautiously. Mrs. Sheckley put her spatula down by the frying pan and turned toward the kids. Why, don't you know? She asked Jenny. I'm Sheffield Matheson's oldest child and his only daughter. Sammy's eyes grew wide. You knew Sheffield Matheson? Mrs. Sheckley chuckled. I should say so. He was both father and mother to me after my mommy died. I got married young, a big mistake, and then divorced. I stayed away from home only about 6 months. The rest of my life, I lived right here. Jenny spoke up. Mrs. Sheckley, you said that there was no painting. How do you know for sure? She chuckled again. Oh, I know. Believe me, the studio used to be right out there where the backyard is now. The only thing left is the cement slab that it was built on. Everything burned up. Jenny frowned. I'm not so sure. Can I look at your family Bible again? Mrs. Sheckley shrugged. Sure, you know where it is. Daddy used to say it held all the treasure we needed. Do you think there are clues there? Maybe, Jenny responded. She disappeared for a second into the living room, then returned with the big Bible. Were you here the night the studio burned? Sammy asked. Mrs. Sheckley nodded slowly. That was a night I will never forget. I had gone to bed early. Daddy was working late in his studio, trying to finish the last of his children's dozen paintings. What they call the broken dozen now, Sammy interrupted. Mrs. Sheckley nodded. I woke up when I heard shouting, and then a door slammed. Then I heard a motorcycle roar off. The only person I knew that had a motorcycle was Berkeley. That was your brother, Sammy added. Mrs. Sheckley nodded again. A few minutes later, I smelled smoke and looked out the window. The studio was in flames. I called the fire department and raced down the stairs and outside to the studio, but by that time the fire... And Daddy was... Her voice choked off and paused. Sniffing, she turned away from Jenny and Sammy. But that was a long time ago. What happened to Berkeley? Jenny asked, and Sammy started getting an idea. He disappeared, Mrs. Sheckley said. The police went to question him about the fire, but never found him. I haven't seen him since. That must be pretty hard, living all these years without your mommy or daddy, or brother. Mrs. Sheckley looked out the window. I wish I had a chance to talk to Berkeley, she said. Daddy was always harder on him, but I don't think Berkeley started the fire. It wasn't like him. Sammy cleared his throat. Mrs. Sheckley, several times we've seen a man hanging around here, and once over at the museum. He went on to tell her what he and Dee Dee had seen. Could that be your brother? He asked finally. Mrs. Sheckley shrugged. It could be. I haven't seen him in over 30 years. Maybe you'll see him again, Jenny said. Maybe. Mrs. Sheckley paused. I'd like that. I have so much to tell him and ask him. She flipped a couple of pancakes off the skillet and onto a waiting plate. Putting the plate in front of Sammy, she said, "Better eat these while they're hot." Sammy didn't need further encouragement. He dug his fork into the steaming pancakes and stuffed them into his mouth. Jenny shuddered. "Don't you want butter or syrup on them?" she asked. Sammy shrugged. "I walk 'em any away," he responded, his mouth crammed with pancake. He chewed for a moment, swallowed, then repeated himself. "I like them any old way," he grinned. "You said you saw this man at the museum?" Mrs. Sheckley asked, placing more pancakes in front of Jenny. "Sammy saw him," Jenny said, smearing butter on her pancake. "We were there at the Sheffield Matheson exhibit. I'm surprised that they didn't ask you to be there." Mrs. Sheckley shrugged. "They asked me, but I have too hard a time getting around. I probably couldn't see much of the art anyway. I'm pleased you kids take an interest in art." Sammy shrugged. "They're planning on building a children's wing to the art museum. Jenny's mom is in charge of raising the money and asked us to help raise it." Jenny looked up at Mrs. Sheckley brightly. "Do you know any way the Shoebox Kids could raise money?" Mrs. Sheckley frowned as she thought. "Are you interested in recycling things?" Jenny nodded. "Sure." "I have several years' worth of aluminum cans and newspapers in the garage," Mrs. Sheckley said. "For that matter, there could be a lot of things of value in there. I haven't been able to drive for years, so I haven't moved my car. Anything could be in there." Mrs. Sheckley stepped forward and put her hands on Jenny and Sammy's shoulders. "Are you interested in cleaning out my garage in exchange for whatever treasures are in there?" Jenny and Sammy looked at each other and nodded. What treasures would they find in the old garage?
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.